That would be like a good like after effect on Final Draft, like the David Mamet filter where it just adds in swears like every other
just
line.
Add some yelling and swears.
Some angry men.
Yeah. 12 of them.
Ooh. Too many.
Too many angry men.
Welcome to our Why Did We Watch This mini episode. It's just two of us here today. I'm Brendan Drischler.
And I'm Lee Delahanty.
And Chris Ravel is not here for whatever reason. He has ditched us tonight. So it's just the two of us.
It's a strange and lonely place.
It really is. There's something about our dynamic that's a little off. A little off. But I think whenever we regroup with Chris, we'll all appreciate each other just a little bit more.
Probably not, though.
No, probably not at all. I think we'll probably hate each other, frankly, an awful lot.
Yeah.
So for this mini-episode, we're going to introduce the movie, the drink, and have a little discussion afterward. Hopefully not too long. We'll see how this goes. So the movie that we will be doing next is the 2004 Lindsay Lohan Disney classic Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. I don't know what to tell you about this movie except that it is short.
Wait, is this actually... This may... I know this sounds like I didn't do any research and maybe it didn't.
Yeah.
But this is a Disney movie?
Yeah, it's a Disney movie.
I didn't realize it was Disney.
Yeah.
So Disney put their name on this and they
Disney
said, we're
fine. Disney
put
their name
this.
On this. And they wanted you to know that this was a Walt Disney picture.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This movie is basically one Lindsay Lohan above from having been, like, a Disney Channel original movie pretty much at the time. So, appreciate it, guys. It's bizarre, it's scattered, and it's not very long. So, if nothing else, you've got brevity on your side this time. For the drinks, we've got three mixers planned. We're sticking with something a little bit basic this time to sort of... follow kind of like a party theme, maybe like something fruity that Lindsay Lohan's character and her friends would drink were they old enough to do so, which they are not in this movie.
Or are they just, you know, borrowing from the parents' liquor cabinet?
Or that's true. Or just raiding the liquor cabinet of her terrible hippie mother who doesn't believe in microwave ovens. So all of these drinks are based around vodka and champagne with a mixer thrown in. So the first drink we have is watermelon seltzer is the mixer with that, and we're calling it a flamingo and a flock of pigeons. The second uses blood orange San Pellegrino soda, and that is called the Santini Martini. And the third uses mango lemonade, and that is something from the drama room. So try them. They should be pretty frothy and pointless and get you pretty hammered depending on how much alcohol you put into it. So that's probably all for the best, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have covered that. So 2 weeks from now, we will be back with more thoughts on Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. And because it's just the two of us, we were sort of struggling on what we would talk about because, you know, we don't want to exclude Chris from things. And we sort of hit upon gaps in our knowledge, be they, you know, movies in particular or just aspects of movies that we don't really know too much about.
Yeah.
Like, there's... For two people, we both went to like a liberal arts school, lots of art programs.
Yeah, well, you like it's like this close to being an art school. I'm making
right.
a gesture with my fingers that is
that's
a
really close.
Distance.
Whoa,
yeah,
whoa,
it's like super close to being an art school, but they're able to call themselves a liberal arts school. But you can't like learn higher than like algebra at this college. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think that they...
I remember going there and being like, we don't have any math for you.
Yeah, no, I didn't have to take any
You've
math.
You've taken all the math
great.
We have.
Yep. My pre-calc has surpassed what they can offer me. But yeah, so we... I was not in a film program, but a lot of my friends were in film programs. Lee.
I went as film, then I switched to screenwriting.
Yeah.
So I was in that college the whole time.
Right. So we had a lot of friends who were you know very very film majory types, let that say what it will, but there are a lot of weird gaps sort of in our knowledge of terms of like movies that we've just never gotten around to seeing, that we just never really cared to see, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just sort of weird. So like for me, like the biggest thing that I can always think of is that I've never seen any of the Godfather movies. Like it has simply never come up in my life.
I mean, neither have I. Like I didn't. Like, as someone who, like, went into the film school and it was, like, I want to say 80% men, In a college that was, like, majority female students.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was definitely in probably the one college where women were, like, outnumbered by men. And, like, all they fucking talk about was The Godfather, Woody Allen, and Tarantino. Like, that was, like, my freshman year was, like, are you fucking kidding me with these directors right now? Like, you know, and I'm blanking. I know that it's a really famous director. Please tell me who directed The Godfather. What's his name?
Coppola.
That's right. Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
It was him, Woody Allen, and Tarantino were, like, some sort of holy directing trilogy.
No, they are.
Trinity. And, like, I remember, like, all the student films being the same, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was a very, like, bro-filled college of future man directors.
I can completely see that from what I remember of it, frankly.
And that changed as I took more classes. Like, right. Those first year classes were full of, like, a ton of students.
I mean, I think you always sort of start out, like, as a freshman in college, like, having, like, this idea, like, you know, like, oh, these are the directors I like, and I'm going to make movies to emulate them. And then, God willing, by the time you've, like, progressed beyond that point,
you've been forced to watch, expand your horizons.
Right, and you're capable of doing things other than just emulating those movies. So, but it is a very, like, it's a super, like, freshman film school thing to be, like, to have all these people liking these directors.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the Tarantino movies I have seen, honestly, because it's probably a shorter list to talk about the ones I have seen versus the ones I have not seen.
I've seen, I always, like, kind of lie and say that I've seen Reservoir Dogs, because it sounds like one of the ones I could tolerate, but I have not actually seen Reservoir Dogs.
I haven't either.
I've seen True Romance, which he did not direct.
Right.
But I like True Romance.
Uh-huh. I've never seen True Romance.
It's great. It's adorable.
It's Christian Slater?
Yeah. And I don't know who the female lead is.
I don't,
but it's an adorable, like, you know, romance with a lot of violence.
So he wrote, but he didn't direct.
He wrote it, yeah.
Okay.
It's got, like, an amazing, like, steel drums theme. You ever heard that theme? You ever heard that True Romance theme?
If I heard it, I might know.
It's good. It's, like, really iconic. If you heard it, you'd be like, yeah, I've heard this before. What else have I done? I've not seen Kill Bill. Pulp Fictions. I've seen Kill Bill. That came up today. So the Kill Bill theme came on Spotify today while we were at work.
Wait, when you say Kill Bill theme, what?
The, like... Da, da, da.
Oh, yes.
So, like,
I thought you meant, like, the whistling thing.
No.
I was like, what an odd thing to come
on
Spotify.
So it came on, and in my head I was like, because the Mission Impossible theme had just ended. And I was like, this is just like the Mission Impossible. It's like some sort of iconic thing, and it's driving me crazy because I couldn't remember what it was from. And in my head I thought Kill Bill, but, like, Kill Bill is too new for this song to be this iconic, and it was Kill Bill.
Well, is that from Kill Bill, or is it from an older movie and he just put it in Kill Bill?
Maybe.
Okay.
Because, like, I know that in my head I've heard that song a bajillion times since then, but I feel like it's because it was imping Kill Bill.
Okay.
Even if it was from an earlier movie, I feel like the reason why it's overplayed now
is because of
Kill Bill.
I just, when I was working at Target briefly after college, There was some guy wandering around, like, the aisles late at night whistling that theme from Kill Bill, like, the whistling theme. And I just remember, like, saying to a coworker of mine, like, oh, like, sounds like this fucker's just watched Kill Bill already. And my coworker's like, actually, he might have watched whatever the movie was that whistling theme's originally from. And I just remember thinking, like, shut the fuck up, you dickbag. Like, no, he fucking didn't. Like, go to hell. Take your snobby shit and go to hell.
I'm not impressed. You just should have said, like, I'm not impressed by knowledge.
I know. God. Hindsight, that's, like, my biggest regret in life is not immediately shooting him down at that moment.
Good for you, bro.
But Kill Bill, I think, I've seen Kill Bill, I've seen Pulp Fiction.
And I've not seen Pulp Fiction.
If Four Rooms counts, I've seen Four Rooms, regrettably.
I have seen another Tarantino movie aside from Kill Bill, and I can't think of what it is.
Jackie Brown?
Nah. I'm gonna pull up a list of his movies real quick while we keep talking.
So do you, like, avoid his movies or what?
I don't really see the draw.
Okay.
Like, I remember going to Kill Bill because it was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I saw both of them in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, honestly, a lot of movies I saw all the Harry Potter movies in theaters, and I hate Harry Potter. I'm excited about Fantastic Beasts, but I did not ever want to read Harry Potter. Someone gave me the first book, and I slogged through it, and I was like, this book sucks. I told you so. I told you I would hate this book, and I did. But I saw all the movies because, like, it was that or, like, all my friends would go hang out with them.
Yeah.
Like, so I just ended up... I movies were, like, a pretty social thing for me, where I would usually go with a large group of people.
That's fair.
So that's how I saw Kill Bill.
I don't do that weirdly enough, but anyhow. Really? Yeah, no, I don't care.
I don't go by myself. I've never.
Oh no, I won't either. But like, if someone people are going to see a movie, really don't want to see, like, I just don't give a fuck. Like, I will actively.
There's a level. If it's like there, if it's a movie that's like that bad, then I would never go. I didn't see like disaster. Like, I have some friends that are really into disaster movies.
Oh yeah.
I won't see those. I'll be like, oh, I'll sit this one out, guys, because I just hate disaster movies. But I guess then I wasn't, at least at the time, I didn't have that big of an aversion to Tarantino that I wouldn't go see a movie with him directing it. But I definitely hate his personality.
I think that's a valid thing.
And I think that for a guy that, like, objectively has made some good movies, I think he has terrible opinions about film.
No.
Like, I don't know how he does it, because, like, I don't have terrible opinions about film. I just think that we have very different opinions, and I think that he's in the wrong for the most part. But, like, so I just don't agree with his, aside from, like, you know, not liking his particular style.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with what he does in film, per se.
It's, like, weird for me, because, like, I appreciate his style, like, I appreciate what he does. I think there's something very fun about what he does, but, like, it's always, like, in theory to me. Like, it's a very communism sort of thing, where, like, in theory, I like what you're doing with this movie, but when I actually sit down and watch it, like, I'm just sort of, like, left a little cold. Like, I acknowledge the talents. Like, I think he's a good director. I think he's a good writer, but I just don't care. Like, I don't know what it is about that leaves me cold at the end of the day. Like I saw both Kill Bills also, and I liked them, and I thought they were fine, and I don't care if I see them again. Like, it's just not something that has left that kind of impression on it to me. I don't know if for me it's maybe something like the idea that, like, regurgitating so many, like, aspects of your beloved films has, like, rendered it to the point that, like, it just doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Like you know, like, if because you've just, because so much of it has just drawn from, like, you know, emulating these things, that I just, like, it leaves me kind of cold rather than doing your own thing. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't.
I lied, by the way. I literally have only seen Kill Bill and a movie he did not direct.
What one did he not direct?
True Romance. He wrote True Romance. Oh, I see. He also wrote The Rock. He was credited as writer for The Rock.
I do like The Rock.
The Rock is a great movie.
Yeah. Aside from, like, that horrible gay stereotype.
The Rock is a great movie now?
yes. Is there a reason why you never saw the Godfather movies? Like, is it just, like, for me, honestly,
I think it's fundamentally length. Something I'm not interested in. Like, I'm not that into the mafia, I'm not interested in them, and I'm not really interested in, like, family epics, or things that are gonna be, like, on the heavier side of, like, I watch a lot of comedies, and a lot of cheesy, I'm into, like, sort of cheesier stuff, like conspiracy theory thrillers. I'll eat them up. Like, I'll probably watch, like, that Liam Neeson one at some point where he, like, it's called, like, Unknown, and he has, like, family. It sounds terrible. Like, it looks terrible.
Oh, no, it's probably garbage.
Like, I'll see it, for sure. I just like movies where people wake up and they ask angry questions. Like, that scene of, like, Bryan Cranston in Godzilla just did a lot of things for me, like, where he just asks, like, what's happening? Like, people asking government agents that. That's why I like Stranger Things so much.
An angry screamer, I believe, is the genre.
Yeah, angry screaming man movies. Yes. I like that kind of stuff, but The Godfather just seems so, like, I don't know, serious. It also seems, like, not quite as, I won't say real. Stylistically, it's not necessarily, it's not like it's like a gritty, realistic movie. It's sort of like it kind of like this operatic feel to it.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's like, it's almost away from being like a realistic narrative to being like a sort of like.
It's kind of a little stylized. Terrible, yeah. Like,
and I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of technical things, and I'm sure it's a tightly written story. But that doesn't mean I have to like it.
No.
And it's just fundamentally not my thing. That's the only reason why. I've seen enough of it on, like, Easter's, whatever holidays where they play all the Godfather movies.
Italian-American Day, Columbus Day.
Yeah. There's so many holidays where you just tune in, like, where I'm with my family and the Godfather is on in the background. And I've seen that scene where, like, he dies and one of the kids in the cornfield, like, a bajillion times.
I think, honestly, for me, it's, like, the level of time commitment that would go into something like that, you know? Like, that's what kept me, like, That's why it took me so long, I think, to get into Game of Thrones the first time, because, like, oh, I've got, like, 2 seasons of this show to watch. Like, when am I going to have time to sit down and watch 2 seasons of something?
Yeah.
And it's just the same thing here. Like, when am I going to have time to sit down and watch 9 hours of something? Like, it's just, like, I feel like I'd probably enjoy it. It's just, like, it represents just, like, such, like, it's, like, this behemoth sitting in front of me that I can't quite digest. Well,
it's not that long. It's, like, no more than 10 hours, right? Like,
no, it's not. Like, it's again, it's, like, it would be, like, watching 1 season of Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah. So I don't really feel like it's not really the time commitment for me. I just feel like I'm not going to learn anything from watching The Godfather. Like, I feel like the lessons I could learn in Godfather, I could learn and probably have learned from watching other movies that I do like.
You could learn how to put an orange slice in your mouth and make a little face with it.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
And then
kids love.
Then I could learn that, like, kids aren't the best people when you're in a crisis situation.
If you must have a heart attack, yeah. Try not to have a heart attack around your grandchild.
They're not necessarily going to get it. They're not going to get you the help you need.
Yeah. Is there, like, a particular genre you feel like you don't really...
I mean, I don't... like I said, I generally avoid, like, really heavy drama. Mm-hmm. Like, I would never sort of choose to see a movie that's gonna make me feel like crap emotionally by the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see it if it, like... and I'll appreciate it, if, like, if I had to watch it in a film class, mm-hmm. or, like, if people are like, no, we should really see this movie. But, like, I mean, I guess that's not entirely true, because I'm really interested in seeing that movie Lamb, which is undoubtedly, like, a heavy drama.
What, sorry?
Lamb.
Oh, right.
But
right,
it's just a
right.
topic that I am interested in.
Right.
Like, it's a story that grabs me. So, like, I don't know that there's a genre. I think it's about something that has to grab my personal interests.
I think, like, that's fair. For me, for whatever reason, I feel like I've never watched that many Westerns. I don't know if it has some, if it's just, like...
I loved the idea of Westerns mm-hmm. more than I've seen sort of actual Westerns.
I get that. I feel like that's... I agree with you there.
But I have seen Westerns I liked. Mm-hmm. I just, like... I remember being younger and, like, watching... because I grew up on Turner Classic Movies, yeah. that channel. Like, I watched it constantly, and I would, like, rent movies that are classic all the time. And I sort of grew up, like, sort of knowing a lot of the iconic Westerns, but I didn't really, like, sit down and sit through all of them
yeah.
full on. But I loved cowboys, and I loved the idea of, like, the... like, I loved outlaws and, like, that kind of stuff. And I saw a couple, but I feel like mostly Westerns in my head were better than the ones that I saw. Like, my idea of what a Western should be versus what they often were.
I'm trying to think of, like, a Western that I really, really enjoy, and I'm having trouble.
Maverick.
Like, that's fair. That's fair. Magnificent Seven.
Yeah. I'm curious. I don't want to stay optimistic about the remake, but
I'm intrigued by it. It could be interesting. It's not a very, like, it's only a little bit of a white cast, like, right? Like,
yeah.
they're at least mixing it up a little bit. So, you know, I don't know if people were demanding a remake of The Magnificent Seven, but you know.
No, I mean, who'd wanted Ben-Hur the remake?
I don't remember that ever being announced. I just remember seeing the trailer yeah, one day online, just be like, "I'm sorry, this. When did this happen?" Like,
yeah.
So I don't know.
Who asked for this?
I don't know.
There are things that come out that make me ask that question out loud. Like, who asked for this movie to be made?
I really like. Does Ben-Hur have that much, like, name recognition in terms of, like?
No.
Like, I mean, I feel like if you know it, like, you know it as, like, this original movie, or maybe you know the book, but, like, how.
I was going for is, like, that famous chariot sequence.
Right. And I don't know, like, could, like, that the chariot sequence, I feel like, is mostly famous because, like, at the time it was such, like, a crazy thing, but now
nowadays,
it's, like...
that's not gonna be it. Like, how right. are you gonna... I feel like if you're remaking Ben-Hur, there's gonna be pressure to have, like, a fucking cool...
Oh, yeah.
...chariot sequence, but, like, that's not gonna be technically impressive. That's
no.
easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, God, they should get George Miller to do it.
Actually, if George Miller did Ben-Hur, I would totally see that movie.
I would watch George Miller's Ben-Hur, yeah. like, chariot scene.
Oh, God, I'd be so
fucking can they get, like,
board.
A guest director, like how Salvador Dali directed a sequence for that Hitchcock movie?
Yeah.
He directed the dream sequence and get George Miller to do, like, a guest car chase scene.
God, I would be so
you gotta get
bored
the
with that.
You gotta get the experts in for your scene.
Have you still... Which Mad Maxes have you seen at this point? Is it just Thunderdome and Fury Road?
Yeah, only the ones that I watched. You showed me the other one, and then I saw...
Okay.
Fury right. Road. You showed me Thunderdome.
Right, we watched Thunderdome.
Yeah, and, like, I would see more. I would see more of those. I'm not generally into dystopian or post-apocalyptic
stuff. Right, I mean,
stuff.
Like, it's another sort of genre that I kind of avoid, too. Like, it's, like... I think it goes sort of what you said about the idea that, like, you know, you're kind of getting into a bummer. Like, I like the Mad Max ones because it's like a fun post-apocalyptic world. Like,
yeah, they seem generally happy with how they're living.
Right, like, it's ridiculous and it's goofy, but, like, you know, like, there's an excitement to it. It's not like the world is, like, an exciting place. It's not like this dour, depressing place.
It's not like Children of Men.
Yeah, no. Which is just desaturated. Yeah, no, which is a good movie, but again, like, I don't know if I could see that movie, like, again. Like, it's just, it's a rough ride, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely see Road Warrior. There are people who say you don't need to watch the first Mad Max to understand Road Warrior, and I guess technically you don't, but I think you should.
I will get back into them. What I definitely don't ever want to watch more of is romantic dramas.
Like
if romance is not going to make me laugh, mm-hmm. I don't want it. Cuz like I feel like romance has easily worked into other genres that are more appealing to me.
Right.
But I don't want to see a movie where like it's just romance.
So, like, your Nicholas Sparks's?
Yeah, I don't watch those, but, like, those are, like, the sort of cheesy, like, Kleenex ones, like Hallmark and Kleenex-y ones. But there's, like, Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that, and, like, Out of Africa.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So, my like, Bridges of Madison County.
My favorite movie is Out of Africa, and she's talked about it so often to me. And she's, like, she always was, like, you gotta see Out of Africa. How could you not think that? And she thinks that, like, what's his face?
Have you seen Out of Africa? Robert Redford.
No, Robert Redford. She thinks he's, like, the most, like, attractive man that feels ever
like,
to have been
that
born.
Feels like a very like mom thing. Like I feel like for people thing. Our age, like our moms were probably very like, ooh, Robert Redford.
Yeah, she really loves the Aryan ideal. My mom. She also really likes Justin Haywood of the Moody Blues. She thinks he was one of the most handsome people to ever been born. He did not age well.
No.
But Robert Redford aged all right.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's a handsome older guy.
He certainly. Is, yeah. He's distinguished now.
Yeah,
face is so wrinkled.
Oh, I know. Like, but it's like such a nice, like
crinkly.
Right, like it's like, kind of like, you know that like you've had like an important life. Yeah, like, he looks so distinguished
Yeah,
now.
He's like, these are like the roadmap of
his
life.
Yeah, it's so characterful. Yeah. Like he's still like so very handsome. It's good for you, Robert Redford. God, like I hope I get those genes. Like I feel like I'm like so baby faced that I'll just look progressively weirder as I get older and older. But
you don't want to get Ted Cruz face.
Oh no, I know, right? Blobfish face.
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
It's a bad one to get.
God, that's the nightmare face scenario right there.
Yeah, I just have like less than zero interest in Out of Africa.
I honestly don't even know what it's about, to be fair.
I don't know either. I just know that it's not gonna make me laugh.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be a fun romp.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm trying to think of any sort of like romantic dramas that I enjoy.
I mean, I enjoyed mostly again because like it had something to draw me in, which was James Spader, which White Castle. Is it called White Castle? No.
What?
It's called White. It's called something weird, but it's like James Spader and I'm gonna have to look
up
her name.
Yeah, because I legitimately don't know what
but
movie you're talking
like
about.
It's like a much older woman and James Spader, and it's like an older woman, younger man romance movie.
Okay.
And it is not really a romantic comedy. It's more that like, it might like technically be classified as one.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's like not a fun romp. It's like he's like lost his wife, and then like he's like the first person that he has like sex with. And they start dating, but, like, he's a yuppie and she's a diner waitress, so there's, like, not only the age gap thing, but, like, a massive...
The social...
Yeah, and it's, like, a tough... It's basically, like, a really tough romance for them. White Palace. So I was close.
You were. I thought it was, like...
I thought White Castle sounded silly. Susan Sarandon.
Is she that much older than him? She
I don't
be.
Think so, but it's played like she is.
Okay. Because, like, I feel like they have to be close in age at this point. I mean,
she's
like,
69
at any point.
And he's 56. But in woman years...
I'm surprised... Yeah, no, in woman years,
in woman
she's
years,
a
she's
dinosaur.
Like 30 years older than
him. Yeah, ugh, ugh. I thought James Spader was older than that. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
no, just, but James Spader was babyface, and then he just fucking became an old man.
That was very weird. He just woke up one day and was, like, an older gentleman, and was like, well, now a character actor I must be.
Yep, now a character actor I mean, good for him. Like, he was really stuck... I feel like he was really stuck in his younger years as, like, snidely villains.
Yeah, he got more interesting as he got older.
Yeah, and he got, like, he got to do Stargate, and that was basically it for, like, diversity.
A while, yeah.
Because, like, he was mostly, like, evil yuppie villains and, like, evil yuppie high school kids. And, like, it was sad, because I really liked James Spader, but, like, I didn't want to see him be the villain in all of his movies. So I just stopped, like, watching his movies for a while.
I've never seen Stargate, actually.
I feel like you got to play it. You've never seen Stargate?
I thought like, we knew this.
I thought like by now you would have had to have seen it. It's like I've watched it like 5 times since I bought the Blu-ray.
No.
You guys are Stargate.
I know. It's like not something I'm adverse to. It just hasn't come up really in my life. I would be okay with seeing it.
There... I would rank Stargate as like top 3 sci-fi movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like, it tells, and like I didn't like the TV show. And okay. I think the main reason I didn't like the TV show was because like, Stargate is such like a solid like story. Like bam, 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 bam. And I didn't want to see like the return of these characters. Like,
yeah.
As soon as they developed more of this world universe and mm-hmm. like built it out, I was like, this is no longer magical, and it's just cheesy to me. Like, the Stargate TV show is pretty cheesy. And it also doesn't have any of the same actors, but it's the same characters. It's a tough ride. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing to ride out, because, yeah. like, I loved James Spader as that character, and I had to listen to, like, watch some other, like, blonde, specky guy, like, and some other, like, I forget who played, I'm terrible at remembering people, but, like, whoever played, like, the general character was different.
Mm.
And it wasn't, you know, this big movie star. It was like some TV equivalent of it.
Yeah.
It just looked like a fuzzy version of Stargate. Okay. And it got cheesy. But the movie, I think, is like, I remember watching it thinking, like, this is just such a solid, like, Campbell legend. Mm-hmm. Who's that guy's? Joseph Campbell, yeah. Like, you could, like, literally time it. And it was just like,
Hero's Journey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was well done. And, like, I liked the journey of the character.
Okay.
I don't know. It was a really good movie.
I would see it. No, really good score. I'm not averse to seeing it. I probably should. I know the vague premise of it, and it's a premise that sort of intrigues me because I'm interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's unique. It's not unique in that it's like a white savior thing.
Well, yeah, that much
but
I know.
But it is unique in that like the plot is solved through like the James Spader's intelligence mm-hmm. and not through like the army blasting in and doing crazy shit like. It's like, it's not like, it's a pretty quiet movie for the most part. There's not a lot of like action because it's like James Spader learning how to talk to like ancient Egyptian people and like trying to translate their language mm-hmm. for a lot of it, which is really interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, in terms of sort of like genre, this is probably something that's probably best suited to its own discussion at some point, which I think we should do maybe later on. But musicals are my big thing because.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a genre that I know well. I love theater. I feel like such a stereotype saying that sort of things, but that like how musicals as a genre always intrigue me. Like no matter how shitty your movie musical adaptation is, like I will still go see it. Like
where do you draw the line? Like is a movie called? Do you know the movie The Gay Divorcée?
I know of it more than I've seen it.
Okay, because like there are a lot of movies of this ilk. From olden times,
right.
30s and 40s and 50s, that, like, I don't know if they'd be considered musicals maybe by that day's standards, but maybe not by today's standards.
They still, I mean, I'm assuming it fits in along with, like, just the sort of MGM musicals that they were doing at that time, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, it was a Fred Astaire thing, so they had definitely, like,
right,
let's dance for 5 minutes at a time.
So, like, it's similar to sort of, like, Easter Parade and that kind of thing, almost.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's still, like, a musical, by my definition, it's, like, the songs have to either comment on the action, define a character, or move the story along. And so, as long as the songs cover something like that,
mm-hmm.
It should work. I mean, I guess, of course, there's the entire genre, similar to, like, White Christmas and 42nd Street, where, like, they're putting on a show, ergo, like, they're going to just do songs where it's like, hey, let's do that number that we all know, so, for the rehearsal.
IMDb says it's a musical.
I mean, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it counts.
It doesn't have, like, a lot of songs.
Yeah,
it
no, I mean...
operate the same way that, like, other musicals
right,
operate.
I mean, a lot of the musicals of that time also only had, like, maybe 4 or 5 songs in them, really, and it was just sort of like, eh, that's all we got. That's what we're getting. Enjoy it.
I'm not gonna lie, when I would watch musicals, older ones, mm-hmm. not all of them, but, like, a lot of them, if I went to see a musical, I would enjoy it, like, mm-hmm. in the theater. Like, I went to see... We saw the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels musical.
Oh, yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah, that was really
great.
Good.
I had a good time. I didn't care for all of the songs, but mm-hmm. it was on stage and I was the experience.
Yeah.
But there are times when I've rented musicals, like, of the MGM ilk, mm-hmm. like, that era, and it's just been like, this is fucking boring, and I would fast forward the songs, because, like, they don't really enhance the story.
No.
And I just am not into the music.
And, I mean, that's also just sort of, like, it took a while for us to realize that, like, to like, sort of, like, bring, like, musicals together in terms of drama, because like musicals like on stage in like the early 1900s were just like, here's a skit and now we're gonna do a song and here's another skit and now here's another song. So like even like up through like the 40s in movies, like that was still kind of an acceptable thing to do. And like really it was like
you know, starting with Showboat and then progressing on through there and stage, where they were like, oh, like, we can actually do a story where the songs, like, have relevance in the story. Like, if you cut the songs out, the story will not make as much sense as it would without
it. Yeah.
So, like, things like that, like, yeah, a lot of the older musicals of, like, the 40s are just sort of like, let's stop and we'll do this number now.
Yeah.
So it is still a musical because it is, but, like, it's not necessarily, like, a musical by, like, the definition of what I would, you know, would look for in a musical necessarily today, but I'm not going to argue the point. It's probably a good enough point as any to drop off, I think, probably here, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because as you and I both know, Lindsay Lohan's character in Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen gets the lead in her school musical as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of exciting discussions coming up about her musical take on Pygmalion with modern tunes called Eliza Rocks. My Fair Lady, what's that? But, yeah, so check out that movie. Got some interesting drinks to try and drink,
yep,
if you so choose to do so. And we will be back in 2 weeks with one of my favorite bad movies, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. Shall we buy it out?
Favorite?
It's a real, like, I really enjoy it.
I don't know how you could.
Ugh, I'm a weirdo. All right. Bye!